Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
British singer and songwriter Mimi Webb signed to Epic Records in 2021 following an extraordinary come-up in her native UK that included over a quarter billion streams and the admiration of global tastemakers from Wonderland to Teen Vogue. She released her debut EP, Seven Shades of Heartbreak, with records like Good Without and Dumb Love, which earned her concurrent top 15 placements on the UK singles chart. Mimi went on to play a sold-out Trek of Australia before diving into the campaign for her debut full-length studio album, Amelia, released in April 2023. The album earned her a number 4 peak on the UK's album chart, a career best, and supports the single House on Fire, which has become a smash hit, amassing over 115 million Spotify streams and over 10 million music video views on YouTube. The album also boasts the successful singles Red Flags and Ghosts of You. In 2024, Mimi supported Benson Boone on his sold-out international headlining tour, the Fireworks and Rollerblades Tour. She also performed at the 2024 Governor's Ball in New York City, the Oswego Festival in Montreal, Canada, and Chicago's Lollapalooza. In 2025, Mimi's single releases include Mind Reader with Meghan Trainor and her latest track, Love Language. On September 12th of 2025, she will be releasing her second album called Confessions. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Mimi Webb.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you very well. And I am currently in London.
How's the weather? I see you wearing a t-shirt. Is it warm?
It's been lovely the last few days, but honestly, today has been awful weather. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not very impressed with today, but yeah.
Okay, let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, cool, I want to be in this music world? And how did that journey progress?
I kind of always knew, like, as a kid, I loved just getting up and performing, even though it would make me feel so nervous and scared. I just had the adrenaline, I think, of it just was something I was always really drawn to. And even with since a very young age, just listening to music, I'd get these crazy goosebumps with songs that I just loved. So I always had this real emotional connection, and it really had this emotional reaction I would never really have with anything else. So I feel like that was how I was really drawn into doing music. So then when I was 16 and I left school, that was when I was like, right, I'm going to make this my life's career, my dream, and I'm just going to really take action. So yeah, it was just something I felt just always very natural, something naturally came to me. And I was never the brightest. I had dyslexia and I always struggled with school and speaking and writing and spelling. So for me, just kind of listening to music and having that connection really, really helped me feel, I guess, like less lonely, you know.
Yeah, I understand. You decided at age 16, it was quite a quick journey into the next phase of being professional. Tell us the next steps.
So next steps, I went to a music college for 2 years, just under 2 years. And then from there, I actually ended up just signing when I was 18.
Yeah,
to a record label in LA, which was crazy. I only had like 2 demos, so it was very, very early signing. But I think it just got me in that headspace of just being able to get in the room with people, be able to get sessions in, just be able to get in really in there where, you know, I started to be spoken about behind closed doors as an artist and as a writer. So I went from there into just obviously then lockdown kind of came along and I was like, right, I need to get this music out. And we were always preparing to release it. And then like a few weeks before the song was coming out, lockdown just took over. So we were just really, it was a really scary time. But then a few months later, TikTok just became something I just loved posting on. And I just ended up posting my songs on there and it just went crazy, to be honest. And it was just amazing. I think, you know, everyone was in lockdown, so no one really had anything else to do but look at TikToks. Yeah. So it kind of helped me out massively. And yeah, it was just so cool to just kind of see over the years. Even now, it just feels like a blur and it happens so fast.
I know this may be a rhetorical question, but your journey has been as it is. Do you feel if lockdown didn't happen and people weren't stuck to watch, it might have taken a little bit longer for you to catapult because people wouldn't have been stuck in their rooms? Or do you just feel it would have happened either way?
I honestly don't really know if it would have happened without the lockdown, which is really great.
Okay.
Because I feel like I needed the world to just kind of slow down a little bit to catch up. So I feel like that really helped the connection happen with other people and just helped my music be listened to. And it was very emotional early on, a very emotional music. So it was a scary time and emotions were very high. And so I feel like everyone was in that headspace to listen and accept more kind of music around those emotions. So yeah, I feel like it kind of happened for a reason in a weird way.
Yeah. You referenced earlier that you struggled at school with writing dyslexia. Has that ever translated into your writing of songs, or did that just overcome that and you just dive straight into that space?
Yeah, I feel like it's something I've always been able to, it's like very therapeutic. I feel like if something's going on and I can't, you know, I love speaking to friends and family about things, but sometimes being able to just get it down onto a song that I can go back to one day and see kind of the growth I've had is something I love to do. And I feel like that's another reason I just, you know, being able to just dive straight in is something I love to do, because you can actually, it's like a journal entry that's always kind of going to be there. And you can,
and also there's not that pressure of like, you have to have this essay done by the end of class. So it's your own journey of writing it at whatever pace you need to.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think even writing my second album and where I'm at with it is, you know, at one point it was like, oh my gosh, this didn't feel right. And I wanted to redo it, and I wanted to get it right, because no matter how long it takes, this has to feel right. And I think that is an instinct us artists have that we just shouldn't ever ignore.
How do you create a song?
Sometimes I start off with a title idea, a melody, and I come in with this kind of idea of where I want it to go. And then we kind of start with the chords, kind of everyone's jamming about in the room. And then as soon as something we kind of hear that feels really great and just feels like it's the right sound, we then just go head in, straight in, just kind of zoom into the whole thing, and just start creating melody and lyrics around the song. And then all of a sudden you've got like a chorus, and then you kind of shaped the bass of the song, and then working around the outside of it is also really, really fun to do. So I would say it's kind of like a few hours of the process.
You referenced or you mentioned we. Is we always the same we, or they're different iterations of we?
Yeah, different iterations. Like, it's sometimes, you know, everyone I write with, like my really good friends, and I've wrote with for years and years and years, way before I even started releasing music. Yeah, there's a lot of different we's for sure. And that's what I think is lovely about an album, and about, because you have so many different memories and you go to so many incredible places to write these songs as well.
And when you've got a new batch of people in the room that you haven't collaborated with before, does it take you a moment to get used to their energies, or do you just dive straight into the writing process?
I think if they're new, I definitely think if they're new to me, I want to get to know them. I want to make sure we've introductions I had. And, you know, you do end up just kind of like the studio. I really do believe that when I walk in and I see guitars and a set of drums and, you know, a whole kind of setup of a studio, I feel open and comfortable straight away. And I feel like I'm able to be vulnerable. Honestly, and like what I do is end up just telling everyone my like life's story, how long I've known them, or, you know, or if I haven't, it's just like you just dive straight in and you just feel comfortable to go down that road with them.
I'm sure that if there was any energies or any people in the room that you did not feel comfortable with, you wouldn't dive into it. You wouldn't open up straight away. So gratefully, and I'm sure it's always been like that, you've always had comfortable energy. So that's fantastic.
I've been lucky to just write with some really incredible people and friends of mine that have just become really close friends. And I think that's the best experience I could wish for.
And how did the collaboration with Meghan Trainor come to be?
So we're on the same label, and there was always an idea about us writing together for my project. And then we wrote this song, obviously, Mind Reader. And I was like, Meghan, I can't release this without you. Like, it just felt like the perfect song to do with a fellow pop star. And it just felt like us pop girlies had to come together for this one. So yeah, it was so cool. She was so down for it. I couldn't believe she was so up for it. And we just had like the nicest time. We were just having such a laugh. And, you know, even recording the music, filming the music video and shooting that with another artist on set was just such a cool experience. She was just so great. And it just felt right. I honestly couldn't imagine releasing it without her on it.
What's the difference between creating a music video by yourself compared to when you're having another collaborative artist on the set?
It's so different because I'm used to it. It sounds really crazy, but you're used to just everyone kind of being around you. So with another artist, it's like it's making sure we both love how we're looking. We're both loving the camera. It's not just about me. But I loved that because it just made me feel, I just felt like inspired and like kind of looking up to Meghan. Obviously, she's been in this industry for so many more years than me. So being able to see how she's grown as an artist and how she deals with being on set and, you know, this, the camera angle, the lights, it was just amazing to kind of learn from that and see how she does it for me to learn all of that.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I get it. I'd love your observation of this topic. I love Mia CD. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys for all the hard work that you do in your creative process. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the thank yous, and so forth. I'm sure you are or may not be aware that vinyl's a massive comeback. CDs are a massive comeback. Last year in the UK alone, there are a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And based on those exchanges, they put these products in the basket based for tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, that's now back in the basket. And the research is showing it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids that are diving into this world. And then we've also got the streaming platforms. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I feel like I completely agree with you where, you know, having that exchange of vinyl or CD is so important. And I love being like, even though I have to sign so many copies, I actually love it. I just get to be able to feel like it really is an exchange from me to you. And I really get to just hold that copy, have it in my energy and my presence, and then send it off. But, you know, obviously streaming and everything that's going on in music these days is also incredible. But again, there's the pressures of social media, you know, how to get a song to blow up. It's so different to how it used to be where CDs and vinyl was such an important part of it, which they still are. They're such an important part of it. But, you know, I think it's just now streaming has really taken over in the industry as well. And it's also thinking about ways of getting the streamings up. And there's all these kind of, you end up not just being an artist, you end up being a social media influencer and a business woman and a performer and a songwriter. And you kind of end up playing all these different parts.
I love that you're busy working on your second album. I hear from a lot of artists these days that the album's no longer relevant. Not that it's no longer relevant, but they're focusing on EPs or just singles at this stage. What are your thoughts of that, being a person that's like, oh, I want to do an album?
I can understand with singles, there's probably like, it's one song to focus on, so you kind of can put it all onto that. But I honestly love albums. Like, my album together, my second album that I'm working on, genuinely like feel it like it's part of my soul that I've created into being a sound and into a song. And I think that's the thing I love about it, in the depth of it, is that it really is I've put my heart on my sleeve, and it's, people put a leg, an arm, a heart, like everyone puts everything into it, you know. And I think that's the beauty of an album. So I do think that for me as an artist, that really is important, to have a piece of work from A to Z that really feels like the story's being told, and that part of my life is having its moment to be heard.
I love that. So you said that writing is like a journal and then the album is the book. There we go.
Exactly. Exactly that.
Now, what do you enjoy about performing live?
I love people singing the words back to me. When you have your in-ears in, your ear monitors, and you just start hearing it back, all the lyrics you've spent hours in writing and all these emotions you put into it, and you just hear someone screaming it back at you, there's no better feeling. There really, really isn't. And you just feel on top of the world, and you just feel like you're being listened to and heard. And I really think that's the most important part of it for me.
So you've got the new song with Megan. What else is coming out for the... I know it's very secretive in your guys' world. What other things can you tell us about?
Well, I've got an album that I'm working on that...
Yes.
Yeah, very soon. And lots of new songs on the way as well. So honestly, I feel like I'm just finally stepping back into being the artist, playing the artist role. And it's not, you know, all the kind of work that's going on behind closed doors is all going to start revealing itself, which I think is going to feel so, it's really going to feel like credible, and just, it's going to feel like again, it's just being heard, and it's just going to feel, not relief, but you know, just kind of like it's there now.
People to have. Yes. I'm not sure, you've mentioned feelings a lot and lyrics. I'm not sure if you are aware of NLP. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people process information. As part of that, there's a subsection called processing skills. Now, each of us have a dominant one, a secondary, and a tertiary one. Dominant means that we'll be in it for most of the day. Secondary, maybe a couple of hours. Tertiary, maybe not at all. Now, there are three of them. So the visual people process information through pictures. So as I'm talking now, they're creating pictures of what I'm speaking of. Auditory people, it's about the words, the sentences, the paragraphs. That's how they process information. Kinesthetic people, it's about the tone of voice, the energy, the emotions, the body language. Now, focusing specifically on music, when you're listening to music, whether completed of your own or of other artists, are you creating pictures? Is it about the lyrics or is it about the feeling?
Oh, I think I'm creating pictures, but more kind of me performing the song.
Okay.
So I'm kind of creating like a bit of a short film vibe. And then probably the feeling. I feel like they're my top two.
And now when you're listening to songs by other artists, are you able to relax and just enjoy them for what they are? Or is your creative brain unpacking what you're hearing?
Yeah, I'm unpacking. I'm trying to relate it to my life, if you know what I mean.
I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 years, 10 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time, simply because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If once we finish this conversation, you had to go and push play to five other artists, who would those artists be? And if you can think of songs of those artists, what would the songs be?
L.O.V.E. by Nat King Cole. Really like Fix You by Coldplay. Paradise by Coldplay. Someone Like You by Adele. I would also listen to Emily Sandef. Like, I was really inspired by Emily growing up. I would feel so much from her music. And then probably SZA, like All the Stars, Kill Bill, just, you know, everything SZA, really. She's incredible.
So Mimi, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I'd just like to say, enjoy every minute and second. Life's way too short. And yeah, just keep moving. Keep flowing through those waves.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.